Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls are reportedly a Gulf of Mexico apart in their contract negotiations. That comes from Bobby Marks. We're going to talk a little bit about that and why Casey Johnson just called Isaac Okoro a quiet steal for the Chicago Bulls. We need to all that, a little bit of the mailbag on today's 4th of July episode of Chicago Bulls Central.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into it for today, y'all. And Bobby Marks, in his kind of roundup of NBA things, talked about the Chicago Bulls and Josh Giddey being the Gulf of Mexico away. Gulf of Mexico away. In regards to the contract discussions. Now, here's the thing, and this isn't to knock Bobby Marks or anything like that. If you go and actually listen to the way that he discussed it, it was more kind of like a, I wouldn't say a backhanded comment. It wasn't really that, but it was more so just a, hey, basically, yeah, it doesn't seem like they're close at all. It did not seem like he had any intel or that he talked to anybody close to the Chicago Bulls or anything like that. But, you know, it just is what it is when it came down to it. Now, I will say this. Casey Johnson, while not, you know, don't take everything Casey says as 100% truth or fact either, I just look at him more so when with internal Chicago Bulls things, I trust him a little bit more than somebody nationally who's basically just making just a small comment in regards to the Chicago Bulls. But I will say this, regardless of any of that, the fact that we are now going into day 5 of free agency and we've heard little to nothing in regards to a contract extension of Josh Giddey, it does make me think that, you know, we'll see what happens when it comes down to that. Not to say that I don't think that they're going to get a deal worked out, but I do think that, you know, the Bulls may finally actually be negotiating this thing. And, you know, I've said it before, that's not a bad thing. Like, here's the thing. There's a large gap between negotiating, which is what you're supposed to do, and some people taking it as, oh, the Bulls are being disrespectful to Josh Giddey. Right now, we could find out some details that does make it seem or make it sound like the Bulls are being disrespectful. But like I said before, and Josh Giddey stands who hate to hear, you know, objective truth in regards to things, the Bulls do have a team and a business to operate on, so they do need to look at, especially with the fact that they have three players other than Josh Giddey who are coming up to contract extensions over the next 12 months. Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, and even Dalen Terry, even though Dalen shouldn't be a big issue. If they're going to keep Dalen, it should be pretty cheap, right, when it comes down to it. But so you have that. So they also have to think about that. They have to think about how they need to build this team. As it stands right now, this Bulls team is far away from being truly competitive in the East, meaning that even if Josh Giddey and Kobe White both get contract extensions and they look like a backcourt that you can build around, you still need to make some pretty big additions to the team. Eventually, we need to find a new center, whether it's in the draft or acquiring one. You need to continue to fill out your bench depth, and we're going to keep getting more answers on how much quality bench depth that we have, and I think we're going to get more answers on that this year, of course, but you need to think about those things, and so you still need to build a team. So I get it. If Josh Giddey's asking for $30 million, there's going to be a large segment of Josh Giddey stands, and some even just Bulls fans like just pay him and give him the money. I've said before, the Bulls can afford to give him that money. They can afford to give Kobe White another $30 million extension too and still have playroom. But then when you start putting other pieces together on other things that could be coming up, you got to factor that in too. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I like I said, I don't think that it's gotten to a disrespectful place, right? Josh Giddey's basically said, he said over in an outlet over in Australia, his agent's basically handling all of that. He's over in Australia doing his thing, right? And, you know, we'll see what comes down to. But the Bulls, like, I know that it's foreign to us because we haven't heard of AK actually doing any negotiation in favor of the team. So it seems a little foreign. But, you know, if he's doing that, that's what he should be doing as a GM. He should be seeing, hey, what's the value here? How can we make this, you know, valuable for both. And where's the truth going to be at? It's usually somewhere in the middle. You know, you're never going to be a good negotiator if you just give players automatically what they want, which is what we've come to hold or to expect AK and Eversley to do, because that's what they've done. So we'll see what happens when it comes down to it. I'm not really worried about it right now. He's a restricted free agent. There's not a lot of teams that can make huge offers to him. Yeah, I know people are going to say anytime something unexpected happens in the NBA, well, nobody expected the Milwaukee Bucks to be able to sign Miles Turner. It's like, yeah, that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that barely fit. They were 500,000 away from not being able to do that, right? So even if a team did, though, and did something unexpected and created enough money and space to be able to make Josh Giddey an offer, the Bulls still hold the rights to match any offer. So this is the place, this is where you are supposed to negotiate. This is what it is, right? So the Bulls have the right to match any offer. You know, unless it gets to the point to where we start hearing Josh Giddey's thinking about taking the qualifying offer because he's pissed off by what the Bulls are doing, then it's time to worry. Up until then, we'll just see what's going to happen when it comes down to it. I think they're still going to work out both sides. They'll figure it the hell out. And they'll figure out a path going forward with this. They are invested in Josh Giddey. I think that they like Josh Giddey a lot. That they do view Josh Giddey very highly around here and as a piece that they want to build with. And we'll continue to see if he sees a player that, you know, how much more can he continue to develop with getting more opportunities and have an opportunity to play his actual game as a point guard. And we'll see what's going to happen with that one. But next up, I do want to talk about this. Casey Johnson called Isaac Okoro a quiet steal for the Chicago Bulls. Now, you have the Bulls fans that look at this and say this was a nothing trade. You have the Bulls fans like that are on the opposite end of the spectrum, like C-Red Fred. Shout out to my boy Fred. Not a shot at him. I love C-Red Fred. But he had a whole podcast and he was like, he said something. I don't want to misquote him. So I'll paraphrase off what I remember. Go and listen to his podcast if you want the direct quote. But it was something along the lines of the Isaac Okoro trade could go down as one of the best trades in Bulls history. It was something along those lines. And I'm just like, hey, my boy Fred is really bought into this Isaac Okoro thing. But I do think Isaac Okoro brings something that the Bulls have lacked and that they needed. And that's a pest on the defensive side of the ball. That's somebody who can just get in players' faces, that can guard multiple positions. Io can do that a little bit too. But Io's more of a functional, like he's more of a lockdown defender. I'm talking about Isaac Okoro is just, he does a little bit of everything that just really bothers teams. When you look at it, he had a defensive win share over the last 2 years of 2 and 2.3. The highest on the Bulls other than that as far as forwards is 1.4. So he's almost doubling what the Bulls forward defenders have done in the past 2 years. Keep in mind, the past 2 years still do include some decent defenders at the forward spot. Alex Caruso guarded forwards mainly, right? So, you know, you have that part when it comes down to it. He's also a really solid three-point shooter. Now, that's on low volume. We got to see how much, if he gets an increased volume here, how much can that do? And it's a low-risk deal. It's 2 years, $11 million each year. That's not really a bad deal for the Chicago Bulls, especially looking at he's more healthy than Lonzo Ball. Not every acquisition has to be a star-level acquisition. Not every acquisition has to be a home run. Sometimes you need a good double. Hell, sometimes you need a good single, depending on who you got on base, right? And if they're in the position to score. So I think that Isaac Okoro has a chance to come here because he was phased out of Cavs, not because he was bad, but because they had a lot of depth at the wing and they brought in a player that is better than him in DeAndre Hunter. Now Isaac Okoro has an opportunity to come in and play his game. Also, they weren't the most fast-tempo team in the league. Isaac Okoro has typically played better in a more fast-paced system, a little bit that he's got a chance to play in one, or those opportunities that they ran one. So I think that, you know, Okoro can be one of those pieces that we look back on and says that he plays an important role. I'm not here to say that he's going to be some player that we all look by the end of this 2 years and like, oh my God, thank God we traded for Isaac Okoro. But I do think he's going to be a player that can come in here. He can help. His role is going to be more streamlined, truly playing the 3-and-D role. The way that Josh Giddey and Coby White create off drives and can get three-point shooters open, I think that's going to be really good for him as well. Okoro has that opportunity to bring that skill set to the Chicago Bulls, and it's a skill set that we need. That's the most important thing, is the Bulls brought in a skill set that we need. Is he as disruptive as Alonzo Ball? No, but he's definitely a pest. He's a consistent pest at that defensively, and sometimes you just need those guys on the defensive side of your ball. The Rockets had a bunch of them. Hell, The OKC Thunder have a bunch of those guys. So you need those guys, I think, especially in the Eastern Conference. You need to have those type of guys around you and on your team. If he can be a solid three-point shooter, keep in mind, he's a season removed from being a 39% three-point shooter in 2023-24 on 3.1 shots per game. Now, that dropped to 2.7 last year, and he still shot that at a 37% clip. There's room to believe and reason to believe legitimately that Isaac Okoro can to bring a much-needed skill set to the Chicago Bulls team. There's a lot of reason to believe that he can do that. Now, he has to go out there and show and prove. That's the biggest thing. That's with all these guys. They got to go out and show and prove. If Isaac Okoro can bring the brand of defense that fits his game, as well as being a three-point shooter, also be somebody who almost gets a steal per game as well, doesn't really turn the ball over. He has some turnover issues his first year in the league. Other than that, less than a turnover per game every year of his career, other than his first year in the league. Yeah, he's never been a double-digit scorer. That's fine. I don't know if we need him to be a double-digit scorer, but we shall see. I think that Okoro can really help this Bulls team out. Casey Johnson calling him a quiet steal. Could be. I like that. Better than Fred's, he could be one of the best steals in Bulls history. I mean, best trades in Bulls history. We'll see what happens with that one. But, of course, everybody's going to look at this. And if Lonzo Ball has a great season with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and especially playoff run, it's going to start over just like it did with Caruso and OKC. But, you know, it is what it is there. That's where the Bulls have put themselves with some of the decisions that they've made. And it just is what it is there. But, okay, it is the 4th of July, so it is a holiday over in America for our international listeners. And so, you know, I wanted to have a holiday mailbag. We had a lot of voicemails with the draft and with free agency and the lack of moves and with the rumors. So we're gonna have three voicemail bags this weekend, today, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's go ahead and get into these mailbags, man. This first one's from Jerry.
Yeah, hey, this is Jerry again, my second time calling. But I just wanted to give a quick take on the Coby White situation in regards to him and Josh Giddey. The Bulls need to pay both Coby White and Josh Giddey. That backcourt looked awesome over the course of the last half of the season. I think they can continue to build on what they already established. Coby White has been done everything the Bulls have asked of him. He's switched roles numerous times, coming off the bench, playing point guard, being asked to play shooting guard. I mean, everything he has done. Plus, he has worked diligently on his game, man. Coby White can do it all, man. He can go to the bucket. He can hit the medium range jump shot. He can score off pick and roll and everything, man. I just think the young guy has really been doing a great job of really establishing himself in the NBA. Now, I think him and Josh Giddey play well together. With us re-signing Trey Jones, that's going to help with the defensive struggles in which both of them have. We got Ayo Dosunmu coming off the bench as well, and we got Wendt with Dalen Terry. And the Bulls, plus the Bulls recently traded for Okoro from Cleveland Cavaliers. Man, I really feel like the Bulls are really going to play. They're going to have a great season. I think they can win 48 games this season. Patrick Williams is going to have his best season of his career this year because the spotlight is on him. He's under a lot of pressure, and it's time for him to perform. If he don't perform, then the Bulls will be eventually getting rid of him. But I just wanted to leave a short take. Peace, love, happiness, good health, and strong faith. See you all. Till next time.
Paying both Josh Giddey and Coby. Here's the thing. I think that I want to see the Bulls let them have an opportunity to show that that's a backcourt that you're willing to pay. That's why I hope that they don't change Coby White's role. That's why I hope that Coby White isn't moved this offseason. Let's give them to the trade deadline and see what this backcourt can really look like. They really figured out their chemistry towards the back end of last season. Now let's see if they can build off of that even further and what that can turn into for them. That's what I want to see for the Chicago Bulls team. That's what I think this Bulls team can be. Will they be it? That's a story for another day, but
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout
throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think they have the chance to be that type of backcourt for the Chicago Bulls. Just don't change Kobe's role for once in his career. Do not change his role from one season to another, and let's see what we really got in Kobe White, and let's see what this backcourt can bring. Let them prove what they can be this season, and then you can make your determination and make your judgment based off that, and then we can go forward into the season. But I think these guys have shown an ability, have earned with how they finished the season. Regardless how you look at February, March basketball, whatever it is, they have earned the chance to show what they can do at the start of the season. And I hope that they get to do that. And I hope that they answer that adamantly. And then, you know, some of the doubt and stuff can start quieting around what they can be as a backcourt. Let's hope that that's the case, right? As far as Ayton, luckily now we don't have to worry about Ayton because he signed with the Lakers. So we ain't even got to worry about that. It doesn't even have to be something that's in our purview there. But all right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Rob.
Hey Hayes, how you doing, man? This is Big Rob from the West Side. Many blessings to you and your family. Two quick things. I'm not gonna take up time. First thing I wanted to say was, after you were discussing about the draft and looking at the players, kind of just doing a scale back and looking at the highlights, that I'm hopeful, and I think Noah has the chance, I think you said it before, to be a taller version of Tabo Sefolosha if he doesn't pan out to be, you know, anything more than a defensive-minded player and come to the basket, does wonders. That's second-round pick, that's from Australia. That remains to be seen. Not sure if he's going to make the team or not, but only time will tell, and hopefully things will pan out. You know, I would love to see if he does evolve into a solid, you know, role player, you know, in the NBA. But with that being said, the second thing I wanted to say was DeAndre Ayton. And I know a couple of my friends, we were just talking about him, but I keep seeing in the news about him having issues in Portland, and people are saying that the reason why they bought out was because it was becoming somewhat toxic. Now, I've heard that same story in Phoenix. I even heard that story in Arizona. And a fun fact is, one of my closest friends, his brother, used to be part of the team in Arizona and strictly did say there was issues with him and the coach during that period of time when his only 1 year that he was there. And boy, it was glad when he was gone. So again, it's different people, different opinions. Obviously, it could be slander just to get him to lower the value, but if it's true, should he be a player that we should avoid taking? Because right now, if he is believed that he wants to be a cornerstone of an organization, but doesn't act like it, do you really want to add that drama to the locker room versus a team that if you take him to a veteran squad that can hold him accountable versus a team that's in the rebuild project or at least retooling? You know, tell me what you think, and I do agree. I think Vucevic will be with the Bulls starting the season, and he'll probably be here until February when the deadline comes. Let me know what you think. God bless you. Appreciate the time.
Noah Essanga is way too raw and young to really have any comps right now. And that's just the way that I view it. I understand that that's naturally where our minds go to as basketball fans. It's what we have to do to try to make sense of some things. We have to try to rationalize about, hey, who's this guy remind us of? But I think that Noah is so raw and young. He's 18 years old, that the sky is the limit for him and what he can turn into next season. That just is what it is. So he can end up let's say he ends up being a really good defender and a lob threat and a rim protector. There's still a role for that to be a starter in the NBA. But hey, if he can turn into more than that, if he can develop that offensive game, if that jump shot that looks like he has some pretty solid mechanics can round out, he can make that a consistent part of his game. The sky's really the limit for Noah Essanga. I don't think you can put a cap on it right now, but just because of how raw he is. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying he has unlimited ceiling either. I just think that we haven't seen enough. He hasn't played enough, and he's too raw to say, hey, this is probably who he's going to be at the next level. And I think that that's a perfectly fine place to be in. And I think that overall, even if, regardless of what his ceiling is, his skill set seems to be really nice next to Modest Bouzillis. Modest, who's more offensive gifted, who's trying to take a step defensively. Noah seems to be more naturally defensive gifted, but you can't shake off what he can be offensively. I've talked about it a lot over the last year. Versatile forwards, that's where the league is going. The Bulls may have that. Not going to say it yet, but they may have that. We just got to see if they can round it out, develop it, and what it could turn into, and let's hope that it works out there. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from the 224.
Hey, how's it going? Follow you since day one. Listen to you every morning on the way to work. Just had a couple comments that I wanted to throw into the podcast. You know, the Bulls, they got a lot of great young talent, but I feel like they keep letting young guys go, and I just want to see this core develop. You know, I felt like they should have kept Chris Duarte, at least giving him more than 4 minutes a game. He's going off in the Puerto Rican League right now. He was a former 12th overall pick. You know, I feel like they really did not give him a chance, especially since he had a great season with Indiana. Then, obviously, you got Daniel Gafford. He looked great on the Bulls. They didn't want to sign him for pennies on the dollar. And, you know, I just feel like they keep letting guys walk. So I hope that they hold this core down and we make a great run this next upcoming season. Love to hear from you. Keep up the good work, bro. You're doing a great fucking job.
One thing that I don't understand is Chris Duarte. I'm not calling you a Chris Duarte truther. I think you ask a fair question. But Chris Duarte truthers. Most of the times when somebody says he's killing it over in this foreign league, how many times does that really translate over? Just being 100% honest. Not to say that it never translates over, but it very rarely translates over. And, you know, not every league is the NBA. And you know, not to say that to be a elitist or anything like that, because that's not how I'm looking at it. I'm just saying that somebody could kill it over in the Puerto Rican League and not do shit at the NBA. That just is what it is. Chris Duarte had one really good season with the Pacers, his rookie year. Since then, he's been going downhill every year since then. I refuse to believe that that's just by happenstance. He's not even in the NBA next year. He's not. Nobody's giving him a contract. Typically, there's a reason for that. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't go over, develop, maybe come back to the NBA. We've seen that story happen as well before. But I just don't think that this is going to be something that magically turns around and the Bulls really missed on Chris Duarte. As far as Daniel Gafford, I'm of two minds with Daniel Gafford. One, the Bulls were never going to give him where they were at that point in time, the contract that he got with the Wizards. Now, the other flip side is that he still had, a year or two, I think, remaining on his rookie scale contract to where the Bulls didn't have to make that decision yet. And by time that he was ready for that, you see where the place of the team was in. So the Daniel Gafford one was definitely a player that we needed, that type of player here. And I think even with trading for Vooch, you should have held on to Daniel Gafford because he brought what Vooch lacked at. But, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda in that one. At this point, we're, what, 4 or 5 years removed from that? I don't know why people are still going back to that. It's over with. It's done. It's over with. Daniel Gafford isn't here. He's not going to be here. And at the end of the day, that was a miss by the front office in their evaluation. Let's hope that they can get it better going forward. But it is what it is at that point. But the Chris Duarte thing, no, you can never sell me on Chris Duarte. He just wasn't a good saying that. I look at it as he didn't earn a chance. He had all prime opportunity to earn a role. He didn't. That's just the way that I view it. But all right, let's get into the last one, man. This one's from Caden.
What's up, Hayes? It's your boy, Caden. Again, like I like to start every voicemail off, thank you for everything you do for the Bulls community. Like, and thank you for loving this team as much as, you know, I love this team and a lot of us love this team. But anyway, let me get to the point here. So I fear, and I've long been someone who tries to look at the Bulls moves and the Bulls front office objectively. Like, I don't completely destroy them for all the bad moves they make, and I don't completely praise them for all the good moves they make. I try to look at everything from an outside looking in perspective, and that's hard to do as a Bulls fan. But I fear that with the East being this wide open, we're not going to be able to get a real clear view of where we actually are this upcoming season, even if the roster does stay the same. And what I mean is, like, let's say, for example, the Bulls top and we end up making the playoffs as a 60, but it's only because everybody else in the East is ass right now. Celtics don't make it. Let's say the Celtics don't make it. Let's say the Pacers don't make it. Let's say another team inevitably, because injury is a real thing, take a step back. And I'm not wishing injury on anybody, but when the last time we had an injury-free season in the NBA. And so I fear that, like, this is even a bad year for being in an evaluation year. And, like, people complain about March basketball. I'm, for one of those people who believe, like, post-All-Star break basketball, it's still basketball. You still got teams who fighting to get to the playoffs. You still got teams who trying. Actually, a few years ago, before it, when we was the number one seed in the East, people were saying, oh, well, that's the beginning of the season. But when teams really locked in and was trying to make the playoffs, that's when they start losing. Which one is it? Is it post-All-Star basketball is not real, or is it pre-All-Star basketball is not real? Like, I feel like it changed every other year with people. Like, just the shit on the Bulls. But anyway, besides my little rant, what you think about that, Hayes? How do you think that sounds? And, you know, just let me know, bro. Like I said, it's your boy, Caden, Southside of Chicago, man. I'm up out of here. Appreciate you, bro.
Is next year actually a good year to evaluate the Chicago Bulls? And I will say every year is a good year to evaluate. You evaluated in context, right? Even what you're saying, the East is going to be weaker. Let's be clear here, right? The Atlanta Hawks have made moves to make themselves better in the East. The Cavs are still going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks are still going to be really good. The Detroit Pistons and Orlando Magic are ready to make a step up, right? So it's not like it's going to be a cakewalk in the East. It's like, of course, they're not the Western Conference, but it's still quite a bit of teams that are going to be tough. Hell, the Boston Celtics could still be tough. They're keeping their core four there. So, you know, with Tatum missing most of next season, probably all, the majority of next season, but them, right? So it's still going to be a tough team. And even with Milwaukee, like last year, they still won 48 games. So, and, you know, you can make a case that maybe they're a better team this season now. So I can't get with that the East is just a cakewalk, so you just can't evaluate it at all. I think that you can. I think that if the Bulls are still able, if they're able to compete, and I'm not saying that I have them penciled in to do this, if they're still able to compete for a top six seed, that's still an accomplishment regardless of whatever else is going on, because I just named like 5 or 6 teams that are still going to be tough in the Eastern Conference. So, and I'm with you. March basketball is basketball. Look at the number of teams that were jockeying. Look at how many teams flip-flop from in the play-in to out the play-in over the last month and a half of last season. You can't tell me that teams just weren't trying to compete last year. They absolutely were. So, you know, and I think people make it so much about if the Bulls won against certain teams. It's not just about that. The Bulls competed in a lot of games with teams that were better than them. And, you know, that goes to show that that could be a scrappy team. That goes to show for a team that if you can add and if you can take a step up, maybe you can compete with them better next season. And so we'll see what happens with this Bulls team. But people will just try to wash away the end of the season entirely and act like it means nothing at all. I can't get with that either. So we'll see what this team could be. We'll see what this team turns into. And we'll be here as we are every single day, watching it and monitoring it. But you guys can continue to let me know how you feel down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.